It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 394. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. Ask any tech question that you have. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. And you've been busy. I got 5 voicemails for tonight. They're all very short, sweet, to the point. Great. Second half of the show, I will play those voicemails. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and send me a friend request. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. That's where you will learn when I'm live and when I am posting up fresh content. Great way to find out what's going on. And don't forget about the wiki, and that's mtswiki.com. That's where you get links to all of the old shows, where you can learn about so many topics I've covered over the past 7 years. That's right. I've been doing this 7 years. I have such a good time, and I've covered so many areas, so many things, including even how to prepare for a job interview. Got great show lined up tonight. Not just the voicemails I talked about. I got some stories from in the trenches, some consulting stories with some valuable lessons that you're going to want to hear. Some tremendous utilities and a couple websites that you just absolutely are going to love. And then 2 emails that I will focus on and spend some time. One of them that's going to launch a discussion on what something that I am seeing with my clients, and so is this listener. And it's a trend that I'm seeing that you should be aware of if you're doing any kind of work or helping someone, or maybe you're in the middle of this as a small business, or maybe your company is making these same decisions. I want to be able to help you out, and we'll take it from there. Before we get started, when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Did you know that 12,000 laptops are lost or stolen at airports every single week? Even a single incident of data loss isn't cheap. It can cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. Businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mozy Pro to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents, to family pictures and music. It's automatic and it works. One advertising executive's company lost an entire bank of servers, which nearly brought their business to its knees. Then he found Mozy Pro. He says, "I was shocked at how fast it works, and their people know how to work with Macs." Mozy Pro business backup plans are affordable, and there are no contracts to sign or hardware to buy. Give our friends at Mozy a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776, or visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. You've heard me talk about SyncBack all the time, the free version. But if you've purchased SyncBack, like I have, the SE version, I want to let you know they have an update to the whole program, the whole family of backup programs, and they have a version 6.0. And it's only $20 to go to the pro version I paid the 20 over the weekend. I use SyncBack and Never Look Back. I mean, it just works when synchronizing. The free version, it's a little tricky to configure at first, and I've done shows on talking about how to do that, but I know a lot of you have purchased SyncBack and are using SyncBack on my recommendation, so I just wanted to let you know it's a really good update. And take a look at the features. They have a comparison chart. I'll put that in the show notes, the link, where you can see all the different versions and what you'll get and see whether it's worth going the $10 upgrade to the 6 SE or the $20 to go to the Pro version. And I just said, you know what, $20, I'll go to the Pro. Even though some of those features I don't need right now, I may need them down the road. Take a look at that. I just wanted to bring that up. A client who wrote his own application. This is a new client that I have. And matter of fact, in my neighborhood, only a block away from me. So it's great. And he has his own home business, him and his wife. And he wrote the application with a SQL database in SQL 2000. And it's running on Windows Server 2000 on an older Dell server. He has a new Dell server that has Windows Server 2008 standard R2 64-bit. And he wants to migrate, but he can't migrate to a newer version of SQL. And SQL 2000 won't work on that. So a mutual friend of ours is how he got introduced to me that I would be able to help him out. Now, he wants to set up Active Directory and a domain. So we spent a couple days where I've walked him through and I've set up Active Directory on the new server. I also activated Hyper-V. Now, you've heard me talk about VMware and VMware Fusion, which I love. Well, here, he already owns Hyper-V because it comes with the standard, you know, Windows Server 2008. Now, I've never worked with Hyper-V, so this was my first experience. It was easy to set up, but there's a couple tricks and something that I wanted to share and some info that I've learned. Windows 2000, it had been so long since I worked on it. I really, anytime I was looking at menus or anything, it was hard. I had to go back almost a decade for when the last time I worked on that server. And one of the things that was interesting, after taking the media and setting up the virtual server, there was no network adapter after I got Windows 2000 loaded. And it wanted Service Pack 4 in order to lay down the Hyper-V utilities that you have to put, just like VMware tools. If you're doing anything virtual and you set up a virtual system, there's usually a tool set that has to be installed on the virtual operating system that helps it communicate better and get better performance and more reliability with the drivers. So you always want to install that tool pack or whatever they call it. In order to install that, when I tried to click and say install this, it wouldn't install. It says you need Service Pack 4. Well, if I don't have a network adapter, I can't go online. I can't connect to a share. Luckily, I was able to go to another machine, download Service Pack 4, burn it on a CD, take it over and to the physical drive. I was able to activate the physical drive to be shared with the virtual operating system. I loaded Service Pack 4, rebooted, I got the network adapter. But here's what the troubles that I ran into that can save you a lot of time. If you're on a domain controller and you have a virtual operating system on it, in order for the networking to work, when you go to the properties of the main physical local area network connection, there's an option that you must check for the virtual switch. Once I checked that option, the host machine worked with that network adapter, the physical adapter, but the virtual network adapter could no longer see that physical adapter. He has to communicate via a virtual network adapter on the physical machine. So, to summarize, we have the physical adapter on the host machine and a virtual adapter network. And then on the virtual machine that's sitting on the host, there's another virtual adapter, which it looks like a real adapter. So we only have really one physical NIC, three IP addresses. And since it was a domain controller with DNS, something I learned, you can't have DNS on the physical adapter. DNS is now really all run from the virtual adapter. So these are things that I've learned that I've ran into for the first time. And I know some of you that have been working with Hyper-V probably already know this, and you're like, oh yeah, I've learned that. But if you haven't and you're going to run into this, these are things that may save you hours of research, which it took me to find some of this. The next thing is, and I'll leave it with this, Log Me In works on Windows 2000, and I never would have thought that. I really did not think that Log Me In was going to work with that old of an operating system, and I was so pleasantly surprised. So we could put Log Me In on the physical host and on the virtual machine, and that was great for my client. And now my client is looking to now, he's migrating his app from the old Windows 2000 hardware to now this virtual hardware, and it's going well. And then I'll come back when he finalizes the app and gets that working, and we'll get the rest of the systems on the domain that he has at his house. Just a few things that I wanted to share. Ran into this week, a company that contacted me that is changing their internet kit provider and they're changing their phone system and the phone system provider. And it's not one of the cable companies. So it's not Verizon, it's not Comcast. They needed me to provide the router because the phone company they're moving to said, you just do the router. The new company asked my client, I should backtrack a little, they're just becoming a new client. I've not done any work for them. And they really haven't had any IT support. They're a small business that they've always took care of things in-house themselves, the owners of the company. But now when it gets complicated, phone systems and routers, they need a little help. So they've asked me to get a router. And I said, whoa, 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 before I buy a router for you, I got a lot of questions about what new phone system you're getting. What kind of internet connection are you getting? I said, time out. I'm going to call, you know, give me the contact information for your new phone provider. We had a great conversation. Great company in the area. They're coming in, they're providing new tea, and they're doing all of the work, and they went over everything that they're going to be doing and what my part would be in helping get the local area network up after they light up the new internet service and the phone system. No problem. We'll work together. We'll get this done. I get a phone call today from that provider, and he says, Mike, project's been killed right now. No go. And I said, what happened? The client found out that he's under contract. He thought he was not. He thought he was month to month. He is under a long-term contract with his current provider of internet and phone, and to get out of that contract, it's going to cost $10,000. Now, there's still going to be some fighting because there are interpretations because they had moved, and when they moved, they did not think that the contract would kind of renew itself for the same terms. So there's some interpretation. So certainly once you hear the word reasonable and interpretation, you know attorneys will be involved. They've contacted their attorney, and I'm sure the phone company has theirs, you know, and we'll see how that all falls out. But the lesson here, he told the new phone company that he was off contract and it was done, because that's what he really thought. The owner really thought that of the business. The lesson here is, no matter what your client says, you got to verify it because they believe they're right. I've had a client over the phone tell me, I'm Windows 7, I'm blah, blah. I get there and it's XP. He had no idea. He thought he was right, though. And this is what happens. But so let's take this to a bigger scale. It's not that you don't believe them. They just might not be interpreting things right. And one of the things I do with a new client, let's review all of your contracts. What do you have for antivirus? What do you have for any software licensing? Your hardware, are they under maintenance contracts? They may not even know. take the serial number, run it by the manufacturer. You can go online. It's easy to check, especially Dell. You get the express code, that service tag. You run it in there online. It'll tell you whether it's under warranty or not, whether it's still got, you know, a maintenance agreement. You got to do this, and you got to do the due diligence so you don't fall into what just happened. The new phone vendor laid out some money already and started provisioning, and there was a line installed. Someone's going to have to pay that. Someone's going to eat some money there. It's going to get ugly. So just make sure you cover all your bases. And when you're going into a new client or a new project, it does not hurt to ask, hey, can I see that contract? Can you make a copy of that for me? Can I see your cable company's bill? You'll know what the terms are. You know, get the latest bill for their telephone or their internet service and take a look at that. Have a copy of it. This is very, very important when you're working with businesses. If you're working with home users, you don't have to worry about this stuff. But when you're working on a business, you want to do this before you start outlaying money. Now, I was lucky. I bought this router, and I bought it from Amazon, so I can return it unopened with no problem. I may actually keep it because it's not a lot of money, and it's not, you know, it's always good to have a router on the shelf. And right now, I have none, where I've had to deploy routers in emergency situations. It's always good to have a cheap router sitting on your shelf that you never know when you're going to need it. And you never know when it's going to go into action. Matter of fact, I keep one in the trunk. And then I replaced it, and then I used that one. I'm now out. So this is going to become my router that I have for emergency situations. So I wanted to share that because I think it's an important lesson if you're working with businesses. And hopefully someday down the road, if you're running into this, you're going to think of this show. You know, I remember Mike talking about this. I'm going to ask for these things. Very important. And I'm sure you can share stories with me if you have been in that situation, and please do. You know, give me enough information that I'm allowed to talk about without giving specific names of companies, like how I describe the story with my client. I don't use any of the names, but I talk about what the situation is. Couple utilities. One I mentioned a long time ago. It came up this week in a conversation, and it came up last night in the post show of Tech Vets when Carrie and I were recording. This utility is called Yummy, and it's a multi-boot USB creator for Windows, and it's YUMI. What is this? Yummy works much like the universal USB installer, except it can be used to install more than one distribution to run from your USB. So you have this bootloader that is on a USB stick, and then all you need is different ISO images, and you can multi-boot right from the USB stick. How cool is that? This is one of my favorite sites. Something I noticed yesterday when I was on the site and I was playing around, there's a link at the top of the page for portable applications for USB. And you know I'm a sucker for portable apps. I love portable applications. And one of the best sites to get your portable apps is portableapps.com. But now, when you click on that link up at the top of the page, you get pendriveapps.com. And you have a long list of all kind of apps. There was one app here that I was playing with, and I couldn't get it to work last night. It was a cool app that allowed you to reveal the passwords of the mail settings from someone getting POP3 mail. And if you want to record the passwords, like let's say someone uses Outlook. They've been using it for such a long time that since it's automatic and since Outlook automatically goes out, they don't know what their password really is because you just got the asterisks. Well, how do you learn that? Well, there's a portable utility to get the mail password, and I couldn't get it to run under my 64-bit Windows 7. It may not be 64-bit compatible, But you run this app and then you change the POP3 server to be 127.0.0.1. So this app acts like a mail server. And now your mail client goes against, it's looking at your own network adapter. That's what that IP address is. It's yourself. And since this program is running on that adapter, it intercepts the request for the POP3 for email, and it will tell you what the username and password is for email. If this is the Nearsoft one, I can't get that to work under 64-bit. Kate just said, Nearsoft does have a list. Some of these utilities are back to Nearsoft. I don't think this one is. What a cool idea. There's a portable app for almost anything that you would ever want to do. I wanted to bring that up because if anybody can get something similar under 64-bit to work like I just described to be able to capture the mail passwords, I want it. And I'll share it with everybody because I run into this a lot where I'm going to migrate somebody from an older system to a newer, and that's where I'll be able to probably use this on their 32-bit, where they don't have their passwords. And now I don't have to worry about it. Once I make that little change, run this utility, I'll be able to get the passwords, write them down. So now when I configure the new system, or if I'm redoing their system, I have their email passwords. So that's nice. I'm never worried about wireless passwords because I can always go in and reset the router. I can go in and I can change that. So that's not never really a problem. I wanted to share these two, I think, very, very useful websites, the Yummy and then the Pendrive apps. And of course, Pendrive Linux is your ultimate one-stop shopping for anything that you want to do with a USB stick. And I remember years ago coming across this site. It was the first site to be able to show you how to boot XP from a USB stick. And I remember that. And they have great utilities to help you do anything you want, portable. And that's important as you go out and do battle and try to repair systems and do your work. You want to get as many utilities as you can to run from a portable standalone situation. So it's very easy. So you can literally carry everything you need from just one USB stick. Take a look at those sites, play with all those utilities, and report back to me. Let me know how you like them. Let me know your favorite utilities, and I can share them with everybody else. Before we get to some of the voicemails and emails that I have, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can't see. That can be a tough hurdle in business with employees and clients around the world. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces, a simple online meeting service with group HD video. It helps you get better connected to the people you depend on for success. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team or clients in real time from anywhere in the world. I use GoToMeeting to make presentations. I have won contracts by being able to demonstrate what I can do for support, demonstrate to show my proposal. GoToMeeting is tremendous. It's going to save you money and time and travel. It's really a great way to connect. And you can try it free for 30 days by going to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. So make sure you use the promo code PODCAST and you get to kick the tires and play with it for 30 days. Let's get to some voicemails. And then I have still a couple important emails I want to get to.
Hello, Mike. This is Alan down in Seattle, or up in Seattle. Hey, last show or show before, you were talking about a hard drive. Somebody had a question on it. So they couldn't find the SATA connector. You mentioned that hard drive should be either SATA or IDE. He was just missing something. Well, I just ordered a portable drive that I was going to pluck out the SATA drive and put in a laptop. And sure enough, they have a circuit board a real thin one on the bottom of the hard drive, and it has a like a SATA connector that the board hooks up into the bottom of the hard drive. They'll say it in no IDE drive or a connector, and I had never seen anything like this before. Don't know why they would do that. It's a USB 3 drive Toshiba, and I'd be curious if anybody knows of a link where you can tell what kind of drives are in the enclosures. I know it used to be you wanted to find out if it was IDE or SATA, but now usually they're all SATA. But with this new type of connection, it's going to throw things way out the window. And if that hard drive goes bad inside of the USB connection, how are you going to pull the data off? That's what I'm wondering, if how these manufacturers missed that. Mike, thanks for the great show. Appreciate all the information. Look forward to the next one.
I have an idea. Is it really built into the drive and it's a proprietary connection, or can you remove it? I've seen this in laptops where there's an extra adapter plugged into the back of the SATA connector that makes that connection for that particular laptop. Take another look at that drive and make sure that you can't remove another adapter. Maybe it's real tight. At its core, it may be a SATA disk. I would say put it back together, run Crystal Disk Info latest version, and you're going to get a lot of info on that drive. That just takes a couple seconds to run, and you are going to get really good information on the drive. So try that Crystal Disk Info, and let's see what it detects. Or it may say, hey, I can't detect it. You know, it's very possible. Also, re-examine the back of that drive. Take a look at the model. What's the drive say? What model number it is? And share that with me. Send that to me in an email so we can then look that up online so it can tell us what type of drive it is. You got a lot of things there. And get back to me and let me know, and then we can better understand. I don't believe there's a new type of drive. I still think it's a SATA drive at its core. That's my bet. Let me know. Next voicemail.
Mike, Don Ram again. Show 390 talking about ways to keep track of passwords. I've heard of KeePass, but I have been using LastPass, and it's an excellent, excellent tool. Your passwords and any other notes that you want to put into your LastPass database are available through any web browser or any computer that you install the LastPass app on, and any iPhone, smartphone, iPod Touch, or anything like that. And again, it's you know, you're not dependent on one app. Even if the LastPass app died on the my iPod Touch, I still have access to all the data through web browser or whatever. So, to get it on an iPad or iPhone, iPod Touch, and I assume Android also, it's a whopping $12 per year, which is well worth it. So KeePass may be similar to that. LastPass is a great product. You do have to trust them that they're not going to change their app such that they can decrypt everything. But you may have heard that Steve Gibson analyzed it. He uses it. And it's before it leaves your phone, your browser, your iPad, it's encrypted, and it's stored encrypted, and assuming that they're not going to change it and put themselves a back door in, then it's nice and secure. See you later.
Thank you for that recommendation. I get a lot of recommendations for LastPass. I have never tried it, and I know a lot of you love it. People in the chat like LastPass. I use KeePass. You know, everybody goes with what they like, but LastPass is, I know, comes highly, highly recommended. Thank you for that recommendation.
Mike, my name's Don Ram out in San Diego. I'm listening to Show 390 and heard you talking about your problems with TimeLogger. Unfortunately, I don't have a solution for your current dilemma, but I have a suggestion. And it's, you know, it's a general it's a suggestion that applies to all data. Never want it in one place. And I heard about TimeLogger from you. I use it. But what I do that's different from you is every day I email to myself that day's activities. And then I email the CSV file, and then I suck that into a spreadsheet that I use to track all my time. And then, of course, spreadsheet is backed up to Carbonite and local backup, et cetera, et cetera. I don't leave it on. I have an iPod Touch. I don't leave it on there. I get it off daily. I hope you get you hear from the TimeLogger guys. And then if you get it up and running again, it's a great little app, very useful for catching those, you know, times when you're doing something and it's billable. I like it, but I don't leave the data there. Thank you for your show, Mike. See you later.
You could tell I'm behind on playing some of the voicemails. And as you know, I've since resolved the TimeLogger program. But the reason why I wanted to play that voicemail is he's dead on something. And it was my laziness that almost cost me valuable data. I did not take the time when the TimeLogger app was working before my crash, and I didn't take the time to email the results for the day, the report for the day, back to myself. Because if I did, I would have had all my data. But I got lazy, and I got depending on that app, and I was like, I'll do a report when I get to it. And what happened? It crashed on an update. And then I was very fortunate, and I told the story about what happened, and I got everything going. And I was very, very lucky, and I now back up to the iCloud all the time, and I send myself a CSV report. So I'm double backing up, because once you have that scare, you know, now you go overboard, and that's what happened to me.
Hey, Mike. This is Alan over in Seattle. Hey, I was calling you to find out if you have put together a list of places you buy tech equipment at. I know you mentioned MonroePrice a lot. I go to Tiger Direct and Buy.com and Newegg. Don't go to Amazon very much. Unfortunately, they just don't have the prices usually that can compete with the other places. But I was wondering if you had any other resources or if anybody else has put together some good places to first go look for tech and good prices. Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the shows, and enjoy listening to them every week. Thanks.
Thank you. Great, great question. And let's put that out to everybody. Now, you know MonroePrice. Love, love, love it. In my living room, I kid you not, there's almost $1,000 worth of MonroePrice hardware that's being installed this Saturday for a project. Half my living room is big boxes from MonroePrice of all kinds of cables and rack and everything. I love MonroePrice. Amazon, love them. Great prices. The only other place that I can recommend off the top of my head is, well, actually two. CyberGuys is a good place, but they're not the cheapest price. But sometimes they have that unusual adapter that you can't get anyplace else. So CyberGuys is good. And Newegg. Beyond those four, what else do you use? And let's put a list together. Let me know. So this way I can put that in a follow-up show and list, you know, what are really good places. And let me know, hey, Mike, this is good for the unusual stuff, but it's not the best price. Or, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible price that you could ever get for video cards. You know, I love Amazon, and take the opportunity to share my links, which is amazon.micnation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon. Share those links, get them out there. That's how you support the show, and I really love it. Thank you very, very much. I have one more voicemail, and then we're going to get to some email.
Hi, Mike. This is Rich in Seattle. I was just listening to show number 388, and I had two comments I wanted to make. The first was about Amazon. You described an excellent customer service experience, and I had a similar experience, but it was not with Amazon itself. It was with a third-party vendor shipping through Amazon. I emailed to trace a package, and within an hour, I not only got an email back from their affiliated vendor, but they were sending me a replacement package while they checked into the missing package. So I should get it in a few days and not have to wait while they try to track down the original package. So not only does Amazon itself have good customer service, but their vendors also have good customer service. The other comment I wanted to make was about Mosey Free. I've been using Mosey Free, and I haven't really had any problems with it. But I disagree with your comment about the fact that we can't complain if a free program doesn't work, especially a backup program. Having Mosey Free go down and getting no support from them, which I understand that's part of the deal, but having that program just disappear, have my backup just disappear, makes me really question the viability of any backups I would get from Mosey Pro. So even if I were to, it would make me question whether or not I should pay for Mosey Pro if their accounts can just disappear like that. So anyway, I love your show. Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Bye.
Now, you know, I will play almost everything as long as it's family friendly, but any opposing viewpoints, and anybody, if you disagree with me, send me the voicemail, and clearly by this voicemail, you know, I would, I play it. We could get into a big debate on that. And the listener that wrote me in about their experience with the free version of Mosey, and it caused me to say the comment that he disagreed with. What you can't do is throw them under the bus, the pro version, because nobody's complaining about that. Nobody's complaining about the pro version, that there's missing accounts or there's missing data or there's any kind of issue. Everything's great. Customer service, great. What we're saying is there's been some problems on the free side of the house. You can take that for what it's worth and, you know, make your own decision. But if a paid service had a problem, then I got a real problem with them. What I'm saying is you got to give some slack to free. It's free. What can you expect? Now, a lot of you out there are saying, hey, when it comes to backup services, I don't care free or not. They got to stand behind it. You can believe that. Me, you can only trust free so far, right? I like it. Me, Claudius, in the chat, he says, you pay to complain. Yes. If I'm paying for service and I don't get it, I have a right to complain, and I will go to the tallest mountain and shout as loud as I can to complain about it. I will always try to present all sides to whatever opinion that you have. Thank you very much for taking the time and leaving that voicemail. And certainly we can all agree about Amazon customer service. I only have tremendous stories that are just tremendous for customer service from Amazon. This email is from Jerry, who's in the chat. And he says, this is the official Windows 7 ISO downloads. So without a TechNet subscription, here we go. Number one, are you looking for official Windows 7 ISO downloads without a TechNet subscription? I believe they're all retail versions, but that can be adjusted from the ISO after. and we have a link for free downloads of high ISO images of Windows 7. Now, remember, you're not getting the key, but at least you can get the image. Also, a tool to install from USB from Microsoft. Another link to change Windows version from an ISO so you can choose any version. And then RT7 Lite customizes Windows 7 or Server 2000 R2 operating system ISOs. You can slipstream service packs, add wallpapers, icons, themes, integrate updates, drivers, language packs, applications, remove components, enable or disable features, unattended installation settings, bootable ISO, USB creator, etc. It will be very easy to operate and change the style of your Windows 7 operating system installs, and that's rt7lite.com. Jerry, thank you so much for these great links, and they will be prominently displayed in the show notes for this show. Thank you. Making a call here on this from a time standpoint, I'm going to get to a couple emails here. There was a more in-depth email that I did not get to that I'm going to save for the following show, and it's about decommissioning servers. We're going to get to that on the next show, and I'm going to dedicate ample time right in the beginning to cover that. But there's not enough time to cover that right now. But let me go on to some responses to some topics that we've been talking about the last few weeks. And this is from Paul, and it's about Pale Moon. Hi, Mike. Pale Moon uses Firefox code, but enhances it for speed. You can use your add-ons that you use with Firefox. It has a 32-bit and 64-bit and portable versions. And this is palemoon.org. It took me 5 minutes to install and get my add-ons working. It is certainly worth your evaluation. Paul, with this email, you've convinced me. I'm going to take a look at it. This is from Mike H. Thanks for the suggestion on the show. Oh, this was the hard drive cloning problem. So this is a follow-up. As it turned out, I ended up reinstalling Windows 7, much to my son's dismay, as my last resort. I did test the new drive with Crystal Disk Info, and it passed with flying colors. Not sure what the problem was, but hopefully my next Windows 7 clone is not as difficult. Thanks again. Keep up the good work. I look forward to every podcast. Thank you very much, Mike. Peter, and he sends this. Hi, Mike. A backdoor has been discovered in old TrendNet IP cameras. TrendNet SecureView cameras bought between April of 2010 to present are believed to be vulnerable to the backdoor bug. Anyone who has one of the following should turn it off until TrendNet issues a firmware patch. And I'm going to have a link to all of the different TrendNet models that has this bug. So beware of that. Peter, thank you for letting me know. This is from Tracy, Professor Tracy. Hey there, Mike. I like your show and what you've been doing. I was checking out some of your back shows, and you always talk about shows you did in the past. You made a reference to show number of 150. When I went to go find it, I was not there. Looks like shows 150 to 140 to 150 are not there. Can you check on it for me and let me know where the links are? Barbara, Citizen X, during the show, I brought this up in the pre-show, and she's taking the time during the show and has found all the links to those shows and fixed the wiki. So they're all there, Tracy. Enjoy. And Barb, thank you so much for being on top of that problem. I really appreciate it. This is from Paul. Android apps, Google bookmark users. Hi, Mike. I wonder if this app would be of use to Android smartphone users. Works a treat on my Dell Streak. I wanted to be able to get my hundreds of Google bookmarks on my phone. Google has no easy way of doing it, and this sync with no problems. And he has the marketandroid.com link for that app. And I think a lot of you are going to like this. Google Gmail. Hi, Mike. this is going back some, but I remember you did a segment on the Mike Tech Show, or was it Tech Vets Show, where you talked about using your company's domain name on Google and use Gmail as your email server. As I remember, you said that this could be done. Oh, absolutely. And it's called Google Apps. I cannot find a phone number for Google that will talk to me about this. They all say it is not their department, or I can't get out of the automated helpline loop. Mike, did I dream this or what? Can you or Carrie help me out? Thanks, Marty. Marty, and I sent him back the following link. Yes, you are correct. You actually might have heard it on both shows, because I've talked about Google Apps many times across multiple shows. But more important than getting the show that I specifically talk about it, there is a link for signing up for the Google Apps for free. I'm going to have that link in the show notes. I think it's confusing when you go to google.com/A, they want to sell you the business apps, and that's great. And it's a nice product. But if you have under 10 employees, so under 10 bodies, and you need email accounts, it's free. It's called Google Apps for Free, not Google Apps for Business. And so I'm going to have that link. Sign up. They take you step by step. They have tutorials built in the help when you sign up that will walk you step by step on how to get your MX records changed so you can start getting your mail where you got the Google engine at the back end. It's easy to do, and I'll try to find some shows that I talk about it specifically. I even think listener Buyer Brown did a great video on exactly how to do this. So we'll come up with some of the links. I'll try to get them in the show notes, but go sign up and start looking at the tutorials. It's going to be a big, big help. I think you're going to really like it. So with that, we're going to wrap up. I just want to remind everybody, I have some music here for the end of the show. Please continue to email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. Send me voicemails. You can send me an MP3. Leave me a voicemail. Or just use the Amazon links to continue to support the show. I really, really appreciate all of your support. Tonight's music, you know I love cover music where an artist does music from another artist. I have a song by Roberta Flack. She just came out with a new CD covering Beatles tunes. Give a listen to this one track, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right. Think of what I'd say. We can work it out again.
that was We Could Work It Out. And that's from a new CD from Roberta Flack, Let It Be Roberta. Roberta Flack sings the Beatles. And I'll have a link to where you can download the MP3s. They're very inexpensive, 99 cents. That's what I did, right from Amazon.com. So just an excellent, excellent artist. It's great to hear her singing. And I love, you know, I just love, love, love cover music. That's it for tonight's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep the feedback coming and stay subscribed. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.